you take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Psalms. We'll be looking at a number of different passages of Scripture tonight, because we're going to be talking about worship. Now, a lot of people probably have different ideas of what worship means. The Greek word is latreia, which means to be totally devoted. I have to admit, from my own perspective, that there's some times that I should be worshiping God when I'm really not. Because somebody else is on the throne of my life, named me. And you can't worship God if He's not on the throne. Now, He's on the throne, there's no doubt about that. But on the throne of your personal, individual heart. Worship literally means to be totally given over or devoted to someone. And I dare say that there's probably a hint in all of us of times that we should be worshiping God. And I'm not just talking about music here at all. Music is one way that we can worship the Lord. So is praying. So is studying His Word. So is being in His presence. Just abiding in Him. Seeing Him like He really is. Because when you see Him like He is, it changes how you are. And so we're just going to look a little bit, and it's not going to be a long one tonight, but maybe it's more profound than anything else that you've thought of lately. We're going to read in Psalm chapter 50, verse 14, about the goal of worship. What is the goal of worship in our lives? Verse 14 says, "Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon Me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor." That's the Hebrew word for worship. You will honor Me. You see, the goal in worship is not just talking about Him, not just saying things about Him that we know about Him. There's a lot of people that know about God that don't know God. So it's not just talking about Him. It's literally coming into His presence. Now, when you stop and think about what that means, it means we are allowed now to do something that nobody else could do except the high priest once a year. One time a year, with great trepidation, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies with the rope around his leg and hoping that he's okay. If not, they'd have to pull him out dead. But he would go in with the blood, sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and pray for the sins of the people to be forgiven. In the presence of the Holy God. I can just imagine if I was Aaron or one of the other high priests that had done that, what a different state of mind I would be in walking into the Holy of Holies. It's coming into His presence for two reasons. To honor Him. You see, we don't come into His presence to beg for forgiveness. He's already forgiven us. The price has been paid by His Son. We come into His presence to honor Him for who He is. Not just for what He's done, but for who He is. He's Almighty God. There's no one like Him. So we are to honor Him, and that means to exalt Him, to lift Him up. I tell you what, folks, we can talk about all kinds of other things that we enjoy and have fun doing and get excitement from or whatever else, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I enjoy talking with Donnie about how bad the Patriots are and how good the Cowboys are. But the fact is this. We can talk about all those kinds of things, but I honor the Lord. That means I lift Him up. That's what not only desires, but He deserves. To be lifted up. Exalted above everything else. And to revere Him means to talk about Him. You know what, folks? I don't know if we talk enough about God. I mean, if He really has done all the things that you say that He's done in your life and that I say that He's done in my life, why don't I talk about it more? Somebody told me this a long time ago. If you had terminal cancer and they found some kind of a drug that was experimental and they wanted to try it on you, wouldn't you take the chance? I mean, you were terminal. You were going to die. And they found out by experimenting with this drug on you that it killed the cancer cells in your lungs or wherever it was. And you were healed. Now, I could just imagine that you would not walk around going, "Oh, it's a great day, isn't it? You know, man, nothing's happened in my life." You'd be telling people everywhere, "Man, I took this experimental drug and I'm healed from lung cancer." I mean, you'd be so excited. But when you stop and think about what you're healed of when you accept Jesus Christ, you're healed from the punishment of your sin. We need to lift Him up and we need to revere Him for who He is. He's an amazing God. That's the goal in worship. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, talks about what worship does in our life, the result of worship. Ephesians chapter 5, oops. Verse 10. Let me back up a couple of verses starting in verse 8. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Verse 10. "And find out what pleases the Lord." How do you find out what pleases the Lord? You see, worship is not about pleasing me. The worship of my life is about pleasing Him. So what is it that would please Him? What is it in your life or in my life that would please Him? Walking more in His presence than you have before? Letting go of things that you've held on in your life that you know you don't need? That are crutches in your life or stumbling blocks in your life or whatever they are, let go of them, knowing that you have all that you could ever need in your relationship with the Lord. So it's not, worship isn't about making me feel better. Worship is what pleases Him. And I'm not saying this in a critical way at all, but I think there's many people who gather together, and especially during their praise times or whatever, they almost begin worshiping the worship. Does that make sense? They worship the worship, and they worship the worship leaders, and they worship the music, and they worship the emotion of the whole, And again, I'm not trying to denigrate anybody because every single person has their own thoughts and their own heart. And I believe in that situation, you can truly worship the Lord. But I believe also in that situation, you can worship the worship. We're not the audience. He is. So when we gather together and we share what God is doing in our life, and we share worship times together of music, and we share the Scripture with each other. He's listening. And He hears our hearts, and He hears what we say. In fact, the Scripture calls it, in the first part of Ephesians 5, a fragrant offering. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, and what? Did what? He gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God, which is real worship. It's true worship. It's giving of yourself. It's giving of everything that you have and that you are. And that pleases Him. That pleases the Lord. It's when we hold back and we won't open up and we won't look at certain things in our life and bring them before God that He knows we're not truly worshiping Him. Thirdly tonight, the focus of worship. Again, it's not on the worshipers. It's not on the music. It's not on the preaching. It's not, let me just tell you this. When I was young in the ministry, I was a youth pastor, and I heard this multiple times. Man, we love going to church because of our pastor. Man, he can really preach. Well, that's good. I'm glad he can. But it was almost like they were building their relationship on him. Folks, listen to me. Even if you didn't have someone preaching to you every week or twice a week or on the radio or wherever you might be, you have God's Word. That's all you really need. Now, He tells us, He commands us to gather together for a reason. But it's not just so that we can hear somebody teach or preach or whatever else. It is so that we together as a body can be exhorted to exalt Him, to lift Him up, to live like we should live, rather than just talking about it. So the focus is not on people who are singing or playing music or whatever else. The focus is on Him alone. He's the one who needs to be high and lifted up. He is the one who needs to be exalted above everything else. The Scripture says He's preeminent. There's no one else like Him. No one. No one could even come close to being like Him. And I still don't think, and I personally don't think, I even still comprehend how awesome He really is until the day I get to be with Him. And I think my eyes will ultimately be opened. And I will see what He's really, really, really like. Paul says it's like I see through a glass that's clouded. But someday I'll see face to face. What is the pathway for us to worship them? Well, it's not if the music and the message are good. You know why? I've been in churches where the music stunk and the preacher didn't have a clue what he was saying sometimes. It was probably me. You know, I've been there. Can you still worship God in those situations? Absolutely. Because it's not about the music. And it's not about the preacher. And it's not about your Sunday school teacher. And it's not about the deacons. And it's not about the board. And it's not about... It's about Him and Him alone. And that's what the church is all about. So it's not if things are good. The pathway to worship is to worship Him, the Scripture says in John, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, it's interesting that Jesus said it like that, but stop and think about what it means. To worship Him in spirit and in truth. All right, here it is. To worship Him in spirit means to know that His Spirit is here. His Spirit is living inside of you. And so you're not trying to worship Him in your own power and in your own might. You're literally listening to the Spirit of God speaking to you right now. And as He speaks to you, you also then begin to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because He'll never tell you anything that's not the truth. Worship Him in both of those things. It's what's in the heart that really matters. It's not what's on the screen. It's not what's in the bulletin. It's not what's in your Sunday school book. It's what's in your heart that comes from the Word of God, straight from the Word of God. Not from how somebody feels about it, not by how somebody talks about it in a certain way, or they think this about it or whatever. It's from God's Word. You see, that's the incredible thing about the Spirit of God. He will take God's Word and bring it alive to you. I can't tell you how many times I've sat down to write a devotional. And I say, Lord, I'm looking at this passage. But I'm looking at it. Would you just speak to me? Will you make this come alive to me? And before I know it, He's speaking words of truth into my life that it's just overwhelming. I just can't. How can all of that be right here? How can all that be on this page? But there's so much more. And He continues to speak. And He continues to lead us. If we'll just listen. Well, how do you prepare yourself then to worship the Lord? Well, it's not by just going to church, and it's not just in the church time. The preparation for worship is the same that I would mention. It's the same that any coach would tell you when he's talking about game planning. When do you get ready for the game? On game day? No. You get ready for the game during the week. You get ready every single day. And you study, and you listen, and you work out, and you train, and you do all the things that you should do. It's an everyday, all day long preparation. See, because I believe with all my heart that that's what abiding in Christ means. It's every day, all day long. Not taking a break, not going my own way, not deciding that I'm going to go do this and just, I'll get back to you in a little while. It's abiding in Him every day, all day long, experiencing Him. Psalm 35, verse 28 says, "My tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praise, all day long." Now, I know this kind of sounds weird, but understand how I'm saying it. I believe most worshipers have the spiritual dry heaves because they're trying to bring up something that isn't there. I mean, think about it. If we were really full of people who truly wanted to worship God, this place would change. This town would change. The families in this town would change. The businesses in this town would change. I mean, it's sad that we have more pot shops in Craig than we have almost any other kind of shop there is. Period. What does that say? It says, I guess Craig believes that that's all right. Lastly, the passion for worship. Do you have a passion to worship the Lord? To be devoted to Him completely and totally every single day, 24/7, all day long? Not if I feel like it or if I'm just in a crowd where there's worshiping going on. But am I going to worship Him at the deli? Am I going to worship Him behind a computer? Am I going to worship Him in a power plant? Am I going to worship Him wherever I might be? Am I going to worship Him? A passion for worship means I'm willing to worship even if I'm the only one. And sometimes you will be. Totally, completely devoted to the One who is totally, completely devoted to you and to me. That's what worship is. That's what God desires. He desires our worship. Father, I pray that You'll make this Word come alive to every person that's hearing it. Lord, I know I can't change myself most of the time, and I can't change anyone else, but Your Spirit can. And so, Lord, I pray that You will speak through these words and encourage us to truly worship You. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.